After the action, it's your reaction. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
0141 951 1025 to give us a call. Gordon Dalziel, Roger Hannah and Cammy Bell are in the studio. We've had a quiet day of Premiership action because there's only two games, but some interesting results nevertheless. Dundee beating Aberdeen by 2-0 and St Mirren winning again. 6 points out of six this time with a 1-0 win at home to St Johnstone. So get all your thoughts in on those games today. St Mirren fans, how pleased are you with the form? To put a negative slant on it, are the Killian Phillips days numbered? He's gone and scored again. Could he be prized away during the window? Aberdeen fans might like to hear from you early on. This can't have been the type of performance you had in mind early on in the season. Tomorrow, Celtic fans, you're looking forward to the grass pitch at Rugby Park. Martin O'Neill might be in the dugout, might not be in the dugout. We've got the transfer business for you, which never seems to go away. And all of a sudden, a response needed from Rangers. A big debate towards the end of the week about where they're going wrong and if it's recruitment or systems or personnel and all that stuff. So what is Rangers' best starting 11 at the moment? And do you fancy them to bounce back tomorrow? Even one away from the on-field action, there's a story breaking over the last couple of days about a summit to be held next month. All the Scottish clubs invited to get together in St Andrews and discuss ways that we can get more game time for young players in Scottish football. So if you've got any inspired ideas, you never know. Ian Maxwell, Craig Mulholland, they could be listening and they might take your ideas on board. So 0141 951 1025, get the calls in. And we're here until 6 o'clock. Lots to get through, Roger Hannah.
Yeah, lots to get through. And a big day for St Mirren. I just saw an embryonic Premiership table. St Mirren, 3 points clear at the top, 6 points, 2 wins, 2 clean sheets. And I know Alice McConnell's just going down the stairs to speak to Craig McLeish. He will be a very content manager tonight.
Yeah, a massive win for St Mirren. Listen, there's huge question marks. Craig McLeish getting the job, very inexperienced, what direction that St Mirren were going in. Listen, he's answered absolutely all of them questions. Last week was very, very impressed with him away to Falkirk. And then this week they do the exact same, go and get 3 points. And as you mentioned before, although it's 6 points, it's 6 big points on the board early on this season.
Yeah, great start, as the boys said there, for St Mirren, obviously. Yeah, they rode their luck a little bit. St Johnstone missed that penalty. Could have been a different game, but they get back into it and they got their own penalty kick. 3 points, clean sheets, the boys quite rightly were talking about there. The big result for me was up at Dens Park. I thought it was a convincing win for Dundee. I know Aberdeen got over the line last weekend against Hearts near the end of the game, but it just, for me, papered over the cracks. I think Dundee will be excellent this season. I like the look of them. I like the look of them at Celtic Park. They've put their effort in today, got the 3 points, should have been more, and we'll look forward to the games tomorrow. I think there's a lot of cracking fixtures.
Speaking of which, the phone lines are lighting up already. 0141 951 1025. Let's dive straight in with Thomas, who's on. How are you, Thomas?
Hi, I'm fine, Paul. How's yourself?
Good, thank you. Good. What are you thinking today then?
Well, you're asking about a Rangers best starting 11, and I thought that was quite interesting because Derek McInnes doesn't know his best starting 11, and as you know, I was not keen on McInnes' appointment. But the problem is the bizarre nature of Rangers' signing policy this summer. When you get to this stage of the season, the start of the season, and you've made your initial summer signings, the first 11 should pick themselves. It should be your new centre-forward, your centre-half, ball-playing midfield player, etc. But Rangers had a big pool of what you would call squad players. And basically what I feel is the signing policy they've had this summer, they've basically signed another group of squad players to add to their bludgeoning group of squad players. There's not a first 11 sticks out and presents itself. You might say the goalkeeper because he's new and he's just back from the World Cup. The only ones that I would say should be getting picked, Finlay Curtis, and for as long as we've got him, Nico Raskin, and the left-back boy, Rummins. They're the only ones that I would say, yeah, they're the ones at the start. And it's not because you've got a wealth of riches that you struggle to pick the rest of the 11. It's that, who do you pick?
Gordon Dalziel, what do you make of that?
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree with Thomas.
For anyone who's watching, in the live stream, Gordon DL doesn't have headphones for some unknown reason, which means he has got no idea what Thomas said, but the rest of us do. We'll get you fixed up in just a minute. You can just take the rest of the night off. Roger Hannah, Thomas put a lot of interesting points across. He's not happy with the signing policy. Yeah. He doesn't think the squad's been upgraded. Thinks the numbers are in. But I liked his arithmetic there as well. In Thomas's mind, there's only three outfield players that he would definitely start tomorrow. Well, and that's quite an issue.
Daz might not have heard your point, Thomas, but he kind of echoed some of your stuff earlier in the show when he was saying he'd been surprised by Derek McInnes's selections for the first two games. And then not surprised that he's made five substitutions at half-time over the course of the Dundee United and Jagiellonia games. So he's very much learning in the job. He's learning about the new signings. He's also learning about the guys who were there before, who he's managing for the first time. And he's now got a week of three Ibrox games in three separate competitions. And he probably already has to win all three of them. You look at the table, if Celtic win at Killy early tomorrow, Rangers will go into the Hibs game 5 points adrift. Season's only 9 days old by that stage, Thomas. He needs to turn around against Jagiellonia because, financially, the Europa League's far more attractive to Rangers than the Conference League is. And then he needs to keep the Premier Sports Cup bid alive by beating St Mirren a week tomorrow. So it's a huge week, and he needs to get the calls right on selections. You're correct.
What do you make of this signing policy criticism from Thomas, Cammy? Is that fair? Is it too early to judge that? What do you think?
I think when you look at the signings he's made, listen, Lauren Shanklin, we know Lauren Shanklin can score goals, so he'd be one that I would put in that category that he has to play. The problem at this moment is that they've not got any players, certainly on the pitch recently, that started games that's going to provide them opportunities. Finlay Curtis is one that's always excited me since his loan spell at Kilmarnock, and then obviously he goes away to the World Cup with Scotland. I think he's one of these players you've got to play. I really like him. Yeah, I can see where he's coming from with regards to squad players, because again, people probably look at Ross McCrory and think, is he a squad player? Is he a starting player coming into Rangers? Possibly not, because there's question marks already from a number of Rangers fans saying, listen, we've not upgraded from James Tavernier, and we all know how much criticism he got towards the end of his tenure at Rangers. So I think there's big question marks, but you need to give these guys time. I'm more than happy to give these guys time to bed in at Rangers, but the problem is you need to win games while you're bedding in. So you can't have 5, 6, 7 players off their game and not win games of football. You can afford one or two and the rest of them carry them and still win games of football, because the most important thing at the start of the season is Rangers getting off to a winning start. They can't find themselves behind for another season chasing teams in front of them.
I do, listen, I've picked up the gist of the question, but the point, sorry, but I do agree. I think it's a bit early. Yes, everybody at Rangers wants off to a winning start. It's a big game tomorrow for them. I do fancy them to beat Hibs. I think it will be difficult. I've looked at them over the last two games. Yeah, one or two players haven't settled in yet. Obviously, problems at the back. They look like they could be sort of a... not easy to score against, but they'll give you chances. And if they do that tomorrow, Hibs have certainly got the firepower that can punish them. They've got two guys up front that I think can score goals if they're given the right ammunition. So Derek's not been happy with what he's seen in the last two games. Rangers fans haven't been happy with what they've seen in the last two games. So things will need to improve quickly, but I think it's just a little bit early to go and start judging players just now.
Is it not possible, Thomas, that the Dragojevic or Cammy Devlin or any of the new signings do in time show that they're an upgrade and do in time show that they're starting players and not squad players? Can we be sure after two games?
I don't think so after two games, but the problem is, I think it was Roger who said he's getting to know, Derek McInnes is getting to know these players. Perhaps it's the new method of football that you've got technical directors who are more responsible for signing players than the manager. But I would like to think that when players are coming in to the club or any club, that the manager knows the players, knows what they can deliver, knows that, right, I want that guy to fit into this team plan, which is my problem with Derek McInnes. As I've said before, Aberdeen, St Johnstone, Kilmarnock, you could never see what his game plan was. It was pretty much just a kick and hope, typical sort of Scottish mid-league style of play that he's always played. Like, you look at last season, Jens at Motherwell, who's second in my own try, but he immediately delivered an identifiable style of play that Motherwell had from basically being a middle-of-the-road team. We became the most entertaining team in the league overnight because he knew exactly what he wanted and he knew his style of play. Derek's been 19 years in management and I still don't know what his style of play is. So that's what I'm saying. He should be knowing, I want this player to play in that position for that purpose. And I don't think he knows that.
I wonder if some of that's a little bit unfair, because I think Derek McInnes is, when his Aberdeen side were at full flow, they did have a style of play. Hearts had, again, like, because there's different ways. If we're going to, and listen, I'm more than happy to use Jens Bertolascu as a man who sort of broke new ground here, but not every style of play can be as sort of specific and as easy on the eye as that. It's just not the way it is. Having said that, to then counteract or contradict my own question, would other Rangers fans like Thomas be entitled to have seen some signs in the first couple of games, even, of things that they liked that they could go and work upon?
Listen, Derek's style of play took Hearts to within 3 minutes of the title this season. He's won Manager of the Year with three different clubs. He's won a League Cup with Aberdeen. He's brought St Johnstone and Kilmarnock back into the top flight. So, he's done things right in his managerial career. If you're at any other club than Celtic or Rangers, you get cut a little bit of slack when you're a new manager and you get a couple of games to bed yourself in. You know, a 1-1 draw away from home is ordinarily a good result for a new manager in his debut. But when you're Rangers manager and you're going to Tannadice that first Friday night, it's not a good result. And then you go to Poland and you blow an early lead and you're the sort of architects of your own downfall, if you like. So that adds to the pressure. And there is pressure. There's pressure already. And that's why I say these three games, I'm sure Thomas will agree, Hibs, Jagiellonia, St Mirren, all at home, all winnable. They need to win them.
Gordon Thomas kicked off again, you can't hear him, but said that tomorrow the only players he would sort of definitely play outfield was Romans, Finlay Curtis, and who was the other one? Raskin, I think Thomas said the other one was. So
we wouldn't play Shank.
He never mentioned Shank.
No, Thomas.
No, if we're playing Shank, because you don't know if Shankman can't play, they reckon as a lone striker, or is it Chermiti? You know, you don't know what style he's going to play up front. Does he play Shankman on his own? And if he plays Shankman, does he play Chermiti? Neither have said. It's only two games, I accept that. But again, we don't know how those two guys are going to play, either alone or both together. So I can't say which either or neither of the strikers I would pick, because I don't know what style he's going to play up front, one striker or two.
Yeah, it's a valid question about not knowing whether it's one or two and whether Lauren Shanklin's suited to that or not. And again, look, this is just Thomas's take. Fellow Rangers fans are more than welcome to say they disagree with that number. But to head into a game and think that they can only really kind of identify or only hang your hat on three out of the ten outfield players, quite a low number.
Yeah, certainly. Thomas is entitled to your opinion. That'd be a worry that if every Rangers fan thought that. I don't think that's the case. You're talking about only playing three there. For me, Shanklin definitely starts tomorrow. One, he's a captain. Derek's put a lot of faith in him. Secondly, you're at home, you're expecting to create chances, and Shanklin's the best striker you've got in the building by a country mile. So you'd imagine he would play. He just needs to get that team, he's mixing and matching, substitutions, two games, five substitutions at half-time in two games. So he just needs to get the team settled down. They need to start playing that on the front foot football. As Roger says, he gave up a one-goal lead on Thursday night, which he'd be disappointed on. At Tannadice, I thought Dundee United were excellent. I've got to take a bit of credit. Second half, Derek made the changes. It made that slight bit of difference. Asghar, for me, will play tomorrow. I think he's shown a lot of confidence. I think it could be a big season. But I do agree with Cammy. As much as Derek's finding his feet in there, and he's finding all about his squad and the new players and how to gel everything together, as a Rangers manager, especially early on in the season, you've got to win games.
Interesting as well, as part of Thomas's three was Finlay Curtis. So someone who was obviously in loan at Kilmarnock last season, hasn't started either of Rangers games so far, but he's the one that Thomas wants to see tomorrow.
Yeah, one that I really like, and I would like to see him tomorrow as well. I think he's exciting, he's fearless, he's in such a good place at this moment. Listen, whether Derek McInnes has came in and looked at the training and the pre-season games, and there's players ahead of him. I don't know, but certainly when he came on, he had a real positive impact. I think he's a positive player. So playing him at Ibrox, having Lauren Shankland in the box, in and around the box, I think it's a really good partnership up towards the top end of the pitch. If Finlay Curtis can beat that fullback, get the ball in the box and good quality towards Shankland, then you're going to get goals. So I think he's one that certainly I'd like to see playing.
Do you not think the big surprise, sorry for butting
in,
but the beginning of the first game of the season, Kasama played in front of
him. Yeah, yeah. I'm always amazed.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. If new players come in, Derek brings in your new wingers and says, right, okay, they're in front of Finlay Curtis, I've signed him, Finlay Curtis will play a big part. But he went for a guy that hasn't really produced anything.
And that's all. What I said about training. He must have seen something in Gassama in training, because for me, is it then you're almost just picking a player in front of with profile. So the profile gets ahead of him. Is it because Gassama's played more football?
Did show signs last season, or didn't he? I know it was not. You wouldn't call it a good season overall.
Very inconsistent. If you put Gassama against Finlay Curtis in the last part of the season, Finlay Curtis is miles ahead of him.
Think he will play tomorrow from the start.
I don't think he'll play tomorrow. It'll be interesting to see the starting lineup, especially who's he got to play as the two centre halves again. Who will he, you know, if he decides to go with another centre half in there, however it may be, will Sterling play in front of McCrory? Who's his midfield going to be? Because he's got a luxury in there. He's got Will Raskin start tomorrow.
Yeah.
Now, for me, if you're chasing points right away, I think you've got to go with your best players. Yep. And Raskin is probably right now the best player in the midfield for Rangers.
I think there's more chance of Raskin playing than Curtis, I have to say, because he likes Asgard and that just coming in off the sort of left-hand side.
I think he's a certainty player.
Kind of failed to notice Finlay Curtis's impact the other night.
No, listen, that's very true, but I just have a feeling. I think Raskin will play. I think Asgard will play. I think he'll play two up. I think it'll be Shankland and Chermiti. I think Yokota will probably get a start on the right-hand side. And then alongside Raskin, there'll be one, whether it's Devlin, whether it's Dan Neal, whether it's Dragojevic, I'm not sure. You know, someone will be in there with Raskin, I would think.
What do you think? Agree or disagree with what you're hearing? 01419511025. We've got loads of games to preview tomorrow, a transfer window, and a debate about how we get more young Scottish players into the teams as well. So loads happening. We'll speak to Nathan next.
It's Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line. 0141 951 1025.
Roger Hanna, Gordon Diel and Cammy Bell are in the studio taking your calls. Whatever it is you want to discuss, we are here for you. So keep those calls coming in. Like we said prior to the break, it might be today's results, tomorrow's action that's still to come, the transfer window, Europe during the week, or this summit that's being held to improve the standards of youth football in Scotland. You can get all your thoughts, and if there's something else entirely, we're here for that as well. But Nathan has got the championship on his mind, I think. Nathan,
how are you doing, panel? Thanks very much for taking my call.
Pleasure. What made you call in?
So obviously, like, there's a lot of things getting kind of put out there for Matt Wilson and Alex Ray, and obviously the team, which is, you know, well merited. I feel like one of the people Thistle the Moor that's been under the radar that's done an absolutely remarkable job is Ian Barraclough. With some of the signings that he's brought in, not just this season but last season as well, have been tremendous, and I kind of just wanted to see what you thought of that.
Good team effort at the Jags, I'm sure they would all agree.
Well, it's all about singing off the same hymn sheet, and obviously Mark has a good relationship with him. You know, he'll probably go. He's an experienced manager as well, so he knows what like it is to be a manager and be in the dugout, and he's trying to give Mark the best help possibly can. And once he identifies these players and they get them in the building, then obviously I think Partick, under Mark and Alec, it's a fantastic story. I honestly think this is the year that they can go all the way. I think that everything's built up for them. I think that Mark's sort of bedded himself in. I think the fans are right behind the both of them. The club's going in a good direction. They've got a terrific fan base. So everything there for a big, big season for them. And I totally agree. I think Partick in a real good place just now.
I think you make a good point that they've all got to sing off the same hymn sheet, but ultimately, again, when whether it's your director of football, technical director that's above and sits above, when they present opportunities with players or ideas of recruitment, it's ultimately up to the manager who he brings in, what players come into the building, because he's the one that needs to work with these guys day in, day out, and he's the one that's got to put them on the pitch and believe in them, trust them, and trust that they've got to take the information on that Mark wants to do. So, yeah, listen, I think he's obviously doing a very good job, but Mark and Alec, I think, are doing a really good job on the pitch.
See, where it becomes important for me is obviously he knows the English game. You know, Mark and Alec probably don't know that market. They know the Scottish market inside out, especially Mark. Mark will have done his research on every player in the lower leagues and everything that's going about. So if you're looking to go down to the down south...
Am I missing something? What? I mean, Thistle aren't bringing in players from Guatemala or Kazakhstan. You know, I don't want to do down Ian Barraclough in his role here. He will be the guy who goes and does the deals.
I think that's what Nathan's praising him for.
You know, Mark Wilson and Alec Ray are the guys who are identifying the talent. Look at the signings they've made. You know, Seb Drogsd, man of the match last night, played against Partick Thistle last season and impressed Mark and Alec. Ben Dempsey, yet to play because of injury, captain of Ayr United, played against Thistle last season and impressed Mark and Alec. Ocean Smith, the deal's now done, having had a successful loan period last season. The goalie, Liam McFarlane, has had successful loans at East Fife and Alloa. He was with you at the World Cup in the summer, wasn't he? He was in Scotland training goalie.
He was
goalie.
The training goalie.
Yeah.
That's the greatest gig of all time. See, haven't seen that up close.
Apart from the SFA media, man.
No, the training goalie's the one. Seriously.
Is it serious?
We just got to go for the entire World Cup and just
basically they're just shooting as well, aren't you? Really?
He'll get enough work this season at Thistle, don't you worry. But the point I'm making is, you know, it's Mark and Ali who are, if they were signing players from England, I completely agree with you. But these are guys who Mark and Ali identify, believe they can do a job for Thistle in that league. The majority of them have got knowledge of that league, experience of that league. I think they've signed very, very well. And listen, I'm sure Ian Barraclough does the deals very, very well. But these players are getting spotted by Mark and Alec, unless I'm very much mistaken.
Let's pile a lot of pressure on the lot of them, Nathan. Two games in, are you starting to think this could be the season?
You know, it's funny, right? I don't really have a like with making that assumption, because I always feel like they just falls flat on my face. But this season, I went to all the Betfred Cup, the League Cup games. I went down to Morton last week. I've seen his, like, last week was a totally different performance to last night. Last night I thought we were excellent. I thought we had a bit of flair about us. I thought we really controlled the game. So I actually feel that we could probably go and do it this season. We just look like a totally different animal this year, I feel. Like, last night, for me, the thing that stood out for me most was the players coming off the bench. So, like, you're taking players like Ed Patrick off and bringing on Ewan Henderson, do you know what I mean? Who, in his own right, is an incredible player that's probably unlucky not to start the game. Take Steb Drogsd at the game, you put Gary Mackay-Steven on, you take Samuel off, you put Tony Watt on. Like, even you mentioned the boy Stanley earlier on, getting him back, for obviously for whatever reason he still fell through, which is a shame, but for us it's no, do you know what I mean? It's worked wonders for us. But that's probably somebody that you would put in there to start. But Wheeler Sosa and Smythe in the middle of the park were outstanding, so there's strength and depth absolutely everywhere, and we've not really had that for quite a long time. I wouldn't really go as far as saying we've had that since being in the Premier League, or even getting promoted back in 2013. Like, it's probably the strongest team we've had since then.
I don't think we could argue with that at all, Nathan. I mean, really impressed me last night, the way they played right from the first whistle. The goal, if you dissect that opening goal after 3 or 4 minutes, you know, Seb Drogsd, there's the energy and the pace by Ben McPherson to get outside him. It's a really good delivery by Ben McPherson, and a really cute finish by Robbie Crawford. And you're talking about strength and depth. We talk about Stanway, I mentioned Ben Dempsey, we talk about Ocean Smith, Litsoza, who scored the winner at Morton last week. And, you know, Robbie Crawford's sitting there as well. He's almost the kind of forgotten man, but they certainly won't forget him after that goal last night.
Thank you very much to Nathan from Kosaitho, 141 951 1025. Let's start getting some immediate reaction. One of the early season, very early season, positive stories would be Dundee, because I know they lost on Monday, but they played really well, and then they've beaten Aberdeen so convincingly today. Here is what Stephen Presley had to say.
You should know me by now. I don't often get too excited about things, but if truth be told, since coming to Dundee probably just over a year ago, I think that's been our most complete and our best performance. It had everything that I look for in a Dundee team. It had speed, it had excitement, it had composure at the right times, but boy, did it have resilience. You know, some of the players were running on empty the last 20-25 minutes because of the style of football that we're trying to adopt, and it'll take time for us to reach the levels of fitness that we truly need. And I think also another big understanding is that to play that way we need a strong squad, because players struggle to perform in that high octane manner for 90 minutes. But I mean, I couldn't be prouder of the group today.
So based on the last 10 minutes, is it Mark Wilson or Stephen Presley for the Scotland job? Which one's getting it?
Both.
Co-managers.
Listen, I think that's all down... He was talking there about his team and the positives. I think that's down to the fact that his team are buying into the manager. I think that's all... That comes from the top for me. I like the way he talks. I like the way he's went about his business. He took a lot of criticism at the beginning of his career at Dundee as a manager. People didn't want him in. But he's certainly turned it around. I think it'll be a great season for Dundee. I'm looking at them. I'm going to go early. It's a possible top six for me already for them. I like the look of them. I like everything about them. They obviously should have won been more today against Aberdeen. I think they'll be a handful against a lot of clubs this season.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think what you get from Stephen Presley's team is what you get from him. A bit of honesty, do you know what I mean? Hard working, but also it's taken him time to implement the way that he wants to play, a certain style of football. He's been allowed a year basically to get players in the building that understand and want to play for him. As you mentioned it there, you know, he's got players there that really understand what he's asking of them and go and deliver it on a match day, and they're doing that. They look really, really good. They look very comfortable today in their win, and I agree. Listen, I don't know if it'll be a top six, but I think they'll have a really, really good season.
Most impressive thing for me, Gordon, as well, is the players.
I took the off the you tip know, of my tongue. Yep,
John McCracken and the goalie. The two centre-halves, Luke Graham and Billy Kometo, were sold for £2.5 million. The three that played behind Simon Murray, Cam Congreve, Jan Danda, Tony Yogen.
They were outstanding.
Tony Yogen got hooked at half-time playing for Aberdeen.
And Congreve in particular, one of the standout winners.
That's more than half your team away. And you would never know to look at them either on Monday night at Celtic Park or today against Aberdeen.
Let's go back to the phones. 01419511025. Danny's on. How are you, Danny?
Hi, how you doing, guys? I'm okay. Yourselves?
Good, thank you. What have you got, Danny?
Got a couple of points. We're actually on the way back from the Airdrie game. We're watching Airdrie's Kilbride today. And just briefly, I wanted to touch on the standard of officiating. It's absolutely shocking. Every level throughout the pyramid. I mean, that's the third level of Scotland. I'm a Celtic man myself. In the top flight, it's the same all the way throughout the pyramid. Today at the game, there was not even a fourth official or a board to show the minutes. I mean, it's amateur, and if people are looking in this league, whether it be the third league, the championship or the premiership, there needs to be a standard and a consistency. And I think that needs to happen with foreign refs coming in and maybe even educating or leading the way by being an example. So I wanted to touch on that quickly, and we can go on to the Celtic game as well tomorrow.
I was just going to say on that, obviously in terms of incidents, it won't surprise. I know Danny will know this, we wouldn't have seen the Airdrie Kilbride game. We don't have fourth officials down the leagues in Scotland. So again, then they find the money to bring foreign officials in and make them fourth official at the games. I don't see that necessarily happening anytime soon. We don't even have full time refs in the top flight. Never mind.
No, it's purely down to finance in Scottish football. You know, it's part of the discussion we had earlier on about this summit at St Andrews, and a lot of the arguments, a lot of the pushback that Craig Mulholland and Ian Maxwell will face from clubs is about finance. It's, you know, the imperative of bringing money in and where the SFA's money gets diverted to. Some of it gets diverted to Willie Collum's department, but you look at the top flight now, there's a ref, there's two assistants, there's a fourth official, there's a VAR, there's an assistant VAR. That's an awful lot of officials times six for the Premiership. So in terms of referee recruitment, which I know is a very hot topic for Willie Collum, how many refs can you have in the game? How many refs can you afford in the game? So when you get to the third tier, like Danny was watching it earlier this afternoon, there's just not the money to, you know, to pay a fourth official, I'm afraid.
My problem with the foreign refs argument, and there are loads, is every time I watch Scotland, I think the ref's hopeless.
Yep.
And every time I see one of our clubs in Europe, I think the ref's hopeless. And I think, well, if we're going to get foreign refs, as long as it's not that guy, that guy, that guy. And I appreciate I'm being a bit tongue-in-cheek and selective here, but see if we're going to get them in, make sure it's not the refs Scotland had at the World Cup for me.
Yeah, no, listen, I agree. I totally agree with that. Again, you criticise referees that are here, and then you watch games on the telly or you're at European games and you see the standard them still making the exact same mistakes as we're feeling over here. So
see, on that, I'd love to, genuinely, as like a social experiment, is there any league in the world that thinks they've got good refs? Yes.
Yeah. I think England.
Do you think English? You think?
Yeah.
You think?
I don't agree with them.
Hold on. You think? No.
I think there's a snobbery down there that they think they've got the best refs.
Or is that the refs thinking they're good?
You think English football fans think they've got a good set of refs?
I think they've got a better set than Leeds of Scotland and.
No, I'm not asking if you think they're good. You think English football fans are satisfied with the standard of their officiating?
No, I don't think any country satisfied.
That's what was the question asked.
But I think England would probably think. We pay big money for full-time referees, so...
I don't. I think every Monday morning an hour, Ref Watch, Sky Sports, it's full of English football debate and discussion about the refs.
Yeah, because there's so many games as well in the top flight. Listen, I'm not sure, because I would have made the point there, well, have a look at, we've got part-time refs, have a look at England, they've got full-time refs, and it's not the greatest, but I think English are that... They've got a snobbery about them, thinking we pay big money for our refs, so we'll probably get the best refs.
I feel like all I see in social media is English fans moaning about their refs.
Do they?
Anyway, Danny, what are you thinking tomorrow?
I think tomorrow the change of pitch will be, well, the surface, sorry, will be a big factor. You used to go to Kelly on a Sunday, early kickoff, it's stuffy, there's not a lot of great football, the ball isn't on the deck a lot, but I think the grass coming in is going to be a big benefit to the visiting clubs, maybe not to Kilmarnock. So I think that will be a big factor tomorrow. I also want to touch on maybe new signings quickly. I think we can't see Duran at wide tomorrow. On Monday night, he was absolutely wasted out there. I think maybe play two through the middle, maybe a flat 4-4-2, and Ho and Duran can bounce off each other. But if he's starting at wide tomorrow, we may as well chalk it up there, I think.
Also, it's a good point about how those two get fitted in, because...
See, the big problem is I don't think he will go a 4-4-2. That's not the right... I totally understand Danny's point, because he was right. On Monday, Duran was not effective at all coming off the flank. Now, the argument is you could go with your three in the middle of the park and play him in behind, but the problem is Negrin, who banged 20-odd goals last season, he's got off, he's off and running already, so he ain't going to leave him out. Engels and McGregor will probably play, so it'll be interesting to see how Martin Hale develops that situation, because he certainly has got a little bit of a problem fitting the two of them in.
But it's not that big a problem, because last season they didn't have a striker, and that was a bigger problem than having two. And again, it gives you option, and if one's not doing it, the other one can play. I agree with Daz. I don't think he'll change the formation and go two up top. I think he'll stick with what he has done previously. And it's up to the striker that's playing to score the goals to stay in the team. Whether he'll change it over time, possibly, but I agree, it's a difficult one to fit in at the start, but I don't think it's a huge problem. I think it's a good problem to have compared to what they had last season.
Who do you think will do it, Roger?
It's difficult, because that's hitting the nail on the head. Nigrin's a thing. You could play 4-4-2 with Engels, McGregor, and pick your wingers, whether it's Yang and Tenekte or Forrest or whoever, and get the two strikers in. What do you do with Nigrin? There is a body of the Celtic support think he could do more, but as Dad said, 21 goals last season. He got the only goal against Dundee on Monday night. You cannot leave him out of the team just now, unless you can find a place for him wide one side, but I don't think that suits his, you know.
What do you think, Danny?
Takes away from his ability to get in the box and score those goals.
What do you make of those obstacles the guys have identified, Danny?
Yeah, I mean, of course, you need to kind of shoehorn Negrin in there somewhere, of course. I mean, I'm not too worried too much about having the out-and-out wingers and the two up top. So obviously, that's a hard system to try and fit. I think the amount of ball that we're going to have tomorrow and the amount of possession, there can be some fluidity there, some movement. Our wing-backs can get up and put the balls in. So definitely shoehorn Negrin in regardless. And I want to see the two up top.
The only way you can do that is if he changes his formation to a 3-5-2.
Yeah. the way he did first time around.
Yeah,
it's the only way you can do that, because you fit everybody into that formation, and that's the interesting one. Will Martin O'Neill decide to say, right, I've got two strikers, I want to play them together?
No chance.
Well, don't be surprised.
I would be surprised.
Don't be surprised.
Going to 3-5-2 in the 2026 era.
Well, basically allows your, like, Tierney, who
I know how it works. Yeah, I get it. But, we play three centre backs.
But what I'm trying to say is, if you're going to shoehorn these two guys in with your top goal scorer, that's the way you can do it. It's probably the only way you can do it.
But then you play no wingers then, really.
I'm not saying he will do it. I'm saying it's probably the only way he can do it, if that's what they want to do.
Listen, Celtic's games are going to ramp up. There's going to be injuries come in. There's going to be people out of form. So, as I said before, I don't think it's a bad thing having two new strikers in the building. They were crying out for strikers last season. We all know the problems that they had. So,
well, here's a question for you, right? You're talking about Celtic not playing with wingers. Their wingers are poor just now.
Yeah, I know that. Right. But I mean, in terms of a plan, are you talking about just for tomorrow?
No, long term. I don't know if Celtic are
going to try and sign wingers, right? And they've also got Jota coming back. Like, Celtic in the last few years have been built on wingers. I just cannot see a scenario where Celtic prefer to play.
In the short term,
so Scales Trusty and Carter Vickers all in the team.
I am not saying that. I'm saying if he's got to do that, because there's an opportunity to do that right now. Because one, the wingers aren't really setting the heather on fire, i.e. why Durant played off the right as a winger and he shifted Yang over to the left. You've got Alistair Johnston, who's still there. Yep. You've got Kieran Tierney on the left, who play like they're playing with wingers. So I'm not saying he's got to do that. I'm saying if he wants to shoehorn all these best players in, that's what he can do.
Well, thank you to Danny in Paisley, 01419511025. More time for your calls when we return.
After they play, you have your say. 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Gordon Dalziel, Cammy Bell and Roger Hanna are here at 0141-951-1025. Give us your thoughts on any of the talking points so far, or introduce a new one if you're that way inclined. Loads of good football to look forward to tomorrow. Graham's another Partick Thistle fan. You're all coming out the woodwork today, Graham.
Thanks very much. I've been on before, and the reason that I'm phoning, the last time that I was actually on air, I said that I wasn't that keen on the idea of having Mark Wilson as the manager, and that I wasn't that keen on Ian Barraclough or any kind of director of football. So, a rarity, I'm going to say I was completely wrong. The season we had last season was phenomenal. Mark Wilson and Alec Ray have worked wonders with the squad. I think Ben Stanway came on so well last year under Alec Ray's tutelage, and we've started fantastically. We've made great signings, and I'm really looking forward to the rest of the season.
Graham, I think you're a bit early to say you're wrong. I would hold that. No, listen, I totally agree with you. I tipped them. I thought they were brilliant last year. I thought they were very unlucky against St Mirren. He's built a real good side at Fir Hill. They played good stuff. That's two games now, two clean sheets as well, 6 points. I've tipped Partick to win the championship from the day one, because I just think Mark and Al have got something special going there.
Yeah, again, brilliant start for Partick Thistle. So unlucky last season, but they have built something really, really good. They've got a great squad. I think it was Nathan that was on last, and he went through the substitutes and the players that are coming on for Partick Thistle. And that could be the difference this season, having a really strong, experienced squad. Every season that goes past, these guys get a little bit more experience. And I think I tipped them to go up this season as well. I really do think they've got a right good chance. They started the season well, and they were fantastic last night.
That's Tony Watt asked me last week, are you on the Thistle train? I think we're all on the Thistle train, and it's going at a fair lick at the start of this season. It's a terrific start. Next Sunday, away at Hibs in the Cup. That will be a very interesting second round tie. Then they go to Inverness, who are also unbeaten, a second draw, and, you know, newly promoted side. That'll be difficult, but the way Thistle are playing, they'll go anywhere with confidence.
Totally different set of expectations this season though, Graham, isn't it, given the impressive campaign last season?
Yes and no. Thistle fans are always a wee bit pessimistic, to be honest.
Sure.
We've had enough heartbreak in the playoffs, but there's just something slightly different this year. Mark and Alec were phenomenal last year, as you said. But the players that they brought in, I mean, particularly last night, Seb Draws was stunning.
He was really good, wasn't he?
And I'll be honest, he's not a player that I thought highly of when we played against Queen's Park last year. But he's been sensational in pre-season and in the League Cup. And then he well deserved his man of the match. I know I think he deserved a goal last night as well, but we'll settle for two. We won't get too greedy at this stage.
Absolutely.
I would also say, when you're talking about referees earlier on, the referee last night, and I'm not even going to talk about decisions that he made. Every fan disagrees with refereeing decisions. The one thing that I found really strange was the amount of times he got in the way of play, particularly on set pieces. So twice in the first half against ourselves, Paddy Redding lines up at the edge of the area and the referee stands effectively right in front of him to stop the ball coming out. And he did it to Livingston in the second half. And the amount of times that the ref seemed to just drift into passing channels, he didn't seem aware of what was going on in the pitch half the time.
I think he was just enjoying Thistle's free-flowing football, Graham. He wanted to get involved.
Possibly, but I'd love to have seen Paddy Redding smash the ball into the top corner rather than the ref standing in his way.
We'll pass the feedback on. Thank you, Graham. And Scotstoun, Ian's on the other line as a Celtic fan. What's on your mind, Ian?
All right, Paddy, I hope you are well. There's a lot of negativity for the fans in there, and it's rightly so with the movement for the board. There's not been much, but I honestly can't see anything else but Celtic winning this league at a canter. I don't see much going on over the other side. We've signed players who were good enough for Hearts, and they're starting in the first game. Really good at getting about the pitch, Cammy Devlin, but really poor on the ball. Don't see any fair play. I think we created enough chances to win about five games against Dundee, but obviously only scored one. But I can't see it other than Celtic cantering this league.
What about Europe? How do you think that'll go?
I don't know. I think you need to have an ambition in Europe, but Celtic in the Champions League, any Scottish team in the Champions League, what's really going to happen?
Do you think they'll get there though? Because obviously I think some of the fears about recruitment are about this playoff tie, aren't they, against LASK? You certainly want to be there.
Yeah, I do think we'll be there, and I think that's what will keep us ahead of everyone else in this country, is having the ambition for Europe. But obviously, can't be too confident, but I think we'll get through, yeah.
I don't think you can be too confident after what happened to Kai Rattle-Matty last season. I think that was a real learning for everyone at the football club. That's why I don't think the board can sell Johnson or Ingles before this game against LASK, Ian. Celtic should have enough to get through. You look at you know, they've signed two proven Champions League goal scorers in Hu and Duran. But LASK were champions of Austria ahead of a Sturm Graz team that's just beaten Hearts 6-0. So they deserve respect, and it'll be two awkward games over that 6-day period later in the month.
Ian, what you seen on Monday night against Dundee, I know they should have probably won a little bit more. I'm very surprised you're saying a canter. Do you not think you need to bolster that squad a little bit?
Definitely need to make improvements. As I say, that the fans have a right to be getting frustrated, but I don't really see anything else in the league. Like, the best team I've watched is Motherwell again. Obviously, Astro recommended him. I watched him against Helsinki and the previous game. That's the only type of team I'm seeing with style of play that looked very good. I watched Rangers against Dundee United. They're supposed to be your biggest threat. They were passed off the park in the first half. I think Celtic, we'll always get a high ambition, but we're creating enough chances. I just want to see a better style of play this year as well.
But then that's it. Like, so to be fair, Ian sort of answered some of his own point there, because he goes back to what Celtic's aims are, what Celtic's expectations are. In many ways, because look, Celtic have, you all know the story, they've won 14 out of the last 15. There is a scenario where Celtic will win this league, and it might not be enough for a lot of fans, because we mentioned Europe, we mentioned the style, we mentioned, you know, maybe there's been an element of having the bar set really high with Ange Postecoglou's style and elements of Brendan Rodgers. They scored a lot of goals in his the season before he left. So Is it not more about Celtic constantly trying to push that bar and be the best version of themselves rather than can they just win the league?
Yeah, they should be. For me, they should always be ambitious and trying to get better each season as it goes along. Yes, winning titles, winning cups as well domestically is fine, but they've got to always want more. They've got to try and progress in Europe. And again, progressing in Europe comes with finances as well. So the whole club benefits from Celtic doing well on the pitch. I think that they're in an okay position just now. They've started the league well by winning that first game. I agree with Roger that, listen, that Champions League game will be difficult. It's a difficult tie. It's one they can certainly get through, but they need to keep a hold of Alistair Johnston for that tie. And what they also need to do is they need to sign certain players because they are light in areas. Listen, one or two injuries, which we've seen last season, they got a lot of long-term injuries last season to big players, and it hampered them. So they need to be wary of that as well.
Thank you very much, Ian from Barhead, 01419511025. We might struggle to squeeze one more in, but we could give it a go. Aim high, be ambitious. Mm-hmm. If that's the theme of the end of the show, we could try that as well. Let's take a whistle stop tour of the games tomorrow whilst we are still here. Jashir, Ian's conference, will they beat Kilmarnock on the new grass tomorrow?
Yeah, I think they'll go down there. I think they'll enjoy it. It'll be interesting to see the starting lineup. I think Neil McCann will have Kilmarnock fired up, of that there's no doubt. It will be difficult, always is, but I just think Celtic will have enough.
Yeah, I'm going to go along with that as well. I think it'll be a close game, but I just think Celtic will have enough to get over the line. But I think Kilmarnock will be very competitive.
Roger?
I think Celtic have enough to win. I do. I think, you know, Kilmarnock looked a bit ropey at the back of losing four goals to St Johnstone last Sunday. And I just think Celtic will do it for Martin O'Neill tomorrow.
Okay. Well, what about Rangers then? Because all the debate's been about who Collar on Ella can only pick three of the starting 11 tomorrow, or four if you include the goalie. Are they going to get this back on track or get the win that they need to just.
Yeah, well, Cammy says in the show, a must-win game for Derek McInnes and Rangers. I don't think it's at that stage, but I think they need to get the wheels in motion. I think they need 3 points. Hibs carry a threat, of course they do, but I just feel, at Ibrox, full house, I think Rangers will win that game tomorrow.
I think Rangers will win. Whether it's I threw that must-win comment in there. But I think it's really important because, listen, if they don't win the game tomorrow, there'll be a lot of noise, and especially if Celtic go and win at Rugby Park. But I think they'll have enough to beat Hibs tomorrow.
I'm not convinced. I think Hibs, with Elding, Boyle and Lowe, will carry a threat to a shaky Rangers defence. It wouldn't surprise me if it was a draw.
What about Motherwell? Because as good as they were last season, they get kept up at night by Falkirk, who are so good and got so many points off them last season. Can John McGlynn continue the magic?
No, not for me. I think I was not disappointed. I think Falkirk looked the shadow of the team they were. Motherwell just getting better and better. The caller said there, apart from Celtic, best team they've seen. Motherwell at home, new season, Motherwell for me.
Yep, Motherwell won.
Okay. Motherwell won. How the Hearts bounce back? Battered in Portugal, but maybe no shame in that? Or has that been defeatist? What I mean, the scale of the opponent.
Yeah,
no, Benfica.
No shame in losing to Benfica, but they've now played 3 European games. They've lost 12 goals. They've lost to a pretty drab Aberdeen team as well. If anyone is in need of a victory, it's poor old Wouter Vranken.
Okay.
I was impressed with Dundee United against Rangers, especially first half. I think they're playing better football now. I think Jim can go there and get a result.
Sorry for leaving you out, Hibs fans, but we do need to go. Thank you very much. We will be back. The boys will be back tomorrow afternoon to look after you. Andrew McLean in the hot seat. The GBX is up next.